Good afternoon. Thanks so much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson, and this is Live the Promise, and we are here to help you engage in a strong and active walk of faith. So glad you tuned in. Hope you're having a great Thursday. Well, as you know, if you listen often enough, second hour on Thursdays, we call it Talk to Me Thursday. Oftentimes, I'll toss out a question for you when the phone lines light up eventually, like questions like, what does your self-talk sound like, or what are you afraid of? Or if you could have one prayer answered, what would it be? Well, we're going to do something a little bit different today. And to be honest with you, I mean, hopefully I'm always honest with you, but to be raw with you, I have felt some pushback, some spiritual warfare around this. Pushback not from anybody, but just the enemy. And my boss gathered a few people just to pray with me and pray for me as we venture into this topic. So what I'm going to do is share what's on my heart today. And I want to give you time and space because this will only take me a few minutes. And you, it's something that if you listen often enough, you know this is something that's on my heart. But what's come out of it is something I feel like I need to confess to you. And in that, when I'm finished, maybe you might want to comment on what I'm about to share so you can feel free to call. Or maybe you've got something on your heart, totally unrelated to my topic, but it's just on your heart. Well, I want you to know, I want to hear from you because we're just going to dedicate this Talk to Me Thursday to things that are on our hearts. So feel free to change the subject completely after I'm kind of done with my little thing here. At the end of my monologue, though, I've got a couple questions to ask, and I feel like they're important questions. So you might even call in to answer one of those questions. So, okay, let's dig in here. Well, if you listen often enough, you know that an issue that's been heavy on my heart is just the Christian rant. You know, I call it Bible snobs and Christian bullies. Can I say it any clearer? But it's the people who pick on and assassinate the character of people who are trying really, really hard to serve the Lord. And they're quick with their online opinions, whether it's Amazon reviews, social media, you know, Facebook or Twitter, or their blog posts, you know. And we're entitled to our opinion, I guess. But when you think about, as Christians, the ready, shoot, aim culture that we live in, I want you to know one of the reasons it grieves my heart is that I talk to non-Christians and they say, why in the world would I want to become one of you when I see how you treat each other? I talk to young would-be authors and speakers and say, I have a dream in my heart, but I don't even dare to enter that ring because Christians can be so mean. I remember 25 years ago, Chuck Swindoll, 25 years ago, so much has changed. There wasn't really a social media platform to speak of back then. And he even said, you know what? Christians will cheer you all the way to the top and they'll shoot you once you get there. And so there have been reasons that this has grieved my heart so deeply. And if you listen often enough, you know that I cover the gamut. I travel in several lanes of traffic on the promise. I'll talk to Calvinists and Arminians. I'll talk to charismatics and evangelicals. You know, I'm talking to people in different lanes because guess what? We're going to be in heaven together. What breaks my heart, though, is when somebody who stands in a certain place, where there are respected theologians on both sides of that issue, and you can make a case on both sides of that issue, but they'll stand on their spot, and from there, they decide who a false teacher is. And they'll throw that word around, which causes fear and divisiveness and confusion, I am telling you. And as I was processing the show with my boss, he said, well, let's talk for a minute about what God hates, you know, because he said, you can have wrong doctrine. Doctrine matters. Of course it does. But you can be even confused about a couple of scripture and still be saved. So what does God hate? Well, right away, I said, well, there's seven things that God hates, you know, a divisive tongue, feet that are quick to do evil, hands that shed innocent blood. And he said, there you go. And that's just the truth, is that when we are aiming at people and taking them out because we think it's our biblical duty to do so. This is not to say, well, I'm just to stay on the track here. We are doing more harm than good. So I stumbled on an article that I felt like gave words to what I've been thinking. But I want to make this case, but then I want to tell you where I feel like God had to confront me and I needed to confess and repent. And I'm going to do that publicly with you. But first, I'm going to read this article. It's called The Ugly Underbelly of Christian Opinion by Darren Wilson. And this was found on charismanews.com. And just let me read portions of this article. It's fantastic. He says, there's a song by the popular band Need to Breathe called Cops. And it's all about their frustration with Christians trying to peg them into a particular mold of Christian artist. And they liken the feeling to being chased by all these cops. When the proliferation of social media and the emboldenment felt by so many who can now shout their opinions to the world without ever having to face the people they're opining about, well, I'm sure the song has even more meaning now, not only for Need to Breathe, but listen to this, for nearly every Christian trying to make an impact in our culture. While dissenting opinions are important because they often open our eyes to viewpoints that we may never consider, the spirit in which they are given is just as important. Comments that are arrogantly dismissive, snarky, nasty, or just plain rude reveal far more about the person writing them than they help whatever cause they're trying to uphold or champion. Often these comment threads turn into backyard theology brawls and completely ignore Paul's reminder not to judge or despise our brother, that we're ultimately only responsible and answerable to God for ourselves. Darren Wilson goes on to write, "But I'm not as interested in dealing with the symptom, people being horrible on social media, listen to this, as I am with the root, which is ultimately many Christians feeling that policing other people is not only their right, but their God-given duty. When Paul tells Corinthians that it's not our place to judge those outside the church, but rather those within, 1 Corinthians 5:12, I'm not sure he had Facebook or YouTube in mind. When these words were written, there was a natural understanding that any judgment, quote unquote, of fellow believers was going to happen in the context of relationship. What has happened today is instead kind of a free-for-all opinion shouted at the top of our lungs that's completely outside of relationship. I think this is what Need to Breathe is getting at when they complain of being chased by all these cops, so to speak. They're sick and tired of people they don't know and who don't know them at all going out of their way to tell them what they should be doing or what they're doing wrong." Listen to what Darren Wilson further says. He says, "Social media has created a culture of people who believe their opinion is just as important as any other opinion. Well, unfortunately, this is simply not true. If your opinion is coming outside of relationship, then while it may be loud, it's not important. If a perfect stranger tells me I'm doing something wrong based on something they see in one of my movies, I'm probably not going to pay any attention to them. If someone in my inner circle, who sees me every day and knows the ins and outs of my journey, tells me the same thing, well, I'm probably going to sit up and take notice. Opinions outside of relationship are often just noise pollution. Opinions inside of relationship are not only helpful, they're biblical." I want you to hear that again. "Opinions outside of relationship are often just noise pollution. Opinions inside of relationship are not only helpful, they're biblical. If I could say anything to all the morality police out there, it would be this. Take a deep breath. Consider not only what you're about to comment on social media or the email rant you're about to send, but also the spirit with which you're about to do it. We have to remember that everyone, including the morality piece, is on a police. They're on a journey in this life. We are all growing, learning, making mistakes, and trying our best here. Instead of shouting into the void, why not embrace the community God has already given you and allow iron to sharpen iron in the context of relationship?" I want you to hear that again. This is Darren Wilson's article. "We're all growing and learning and making mistakes, trying our best here. So instead of shouting into the void, why not embrace the community God has already given you and allow iron to sharpen iron in the context of relationship?" My guess is this: it doesn't happen more often because relationships like this are messy and they're hard. And it's much easier to type our opinions in secret than it is to walk with someone through their journey, because that leaves us vulnerable to them doing the same to us. It's much easier to type our opinions in secret than it is to walk with someone through their journey, because that leaves us vulnerable to them doing the same to us. But of course, pointing out the flaws in others while ignoring our own flaws has been around for 2,000 years. And I think it makes Jesus just as upset today as it did back then. Today we call people who do this trolls, but maybe we should start by calling them the same thing Jesus did: hypocrites. It's no coincidence that the least judgmental people I know are also the ones most aware of their own sin and brokenness without Christ. We are all professional mistake makers in need of a Savior. Wouldn't it be amazing if we started acting more like it? Fantastic. Darren Wilson from CharismaNews.com. It's the underbelly of Christian opinion. So when I read this article, I felt amen and yes. But then I realized, you know, even the morality police, they're on a journey. And I think when I read some of these blogs, I mean, because I'm always vetting books and so I'm online a lot reading articles, they're coming from a position. They actually feel like they're doing their God-given duty. And I realize, in some ways, because of the meanness in their tone, they don't know what they don't know. And this is when Jesus says, "Forgive us, we don't know what we're doing." They don't know what they're doing. It's because we don't know what we're doing when we're doing that. And how God really confronted me and convicted me was that I felt anger. And I think it went past righteous anger, because I intercede for my fellow authors and speakers, and I get email. I mean, I received one email that my boss says, well, it was one step away from a pistol in a post office, if it gives you any idea of how hateful it was. But nothing compared to what some of my author friends deal with. Like Sheila Walsh, godly, amazing woman. There was a day when I had her on the show and she had just gotten the phone with me before we went on the air, and I heard her breathe a heavy sigh. And I said, oh, what's the matter? And she said, I made the mistake of reading some of my Amazon reviews on the book we're about to talk about. And she read me just excerpts, and they were so mean, I can't even tell you. So what I want to tell you is I got into a place of anger, just anger and frustration, because these friends were all just trying so hard to rightly divide the word of truth, to stand up and stand out there. And we're not always going to get it right. But maybe saying something wrong, or maybe standing someplace on a position that's different than you, even though it's still in the biblical lane, doesn't make a person a false teacher. But here again, back to me, what I did wrong is my anger. My love had grown cold towards these people. I just felt frustration and anger. And I learned from Greg and Aaron Smalley that anger is a secondary emotion. It's not a primary one. The secondary emotion to these three things: fear, hurt, and frustration. So when I start to boil it down and just start to go, Lord, search my heart, I'm off here in my attitude. I'm going to start praying my heart out for the people that are shooting these arrows and exhausting and discouraging and frustrating these dear people who are out trying to serve you and speak for you. Well, the fear that I was feeling is that an unbelieving world is watching this, and I know they are. And the hurt was for my friends. And the frustration is, why don't you see what you're doing? There's surely a better way. But I had to repent, you know, and I begged God for forgiveness. So then I started to look at Revelation. And in Church of Ephesus, the Spirit of the Lord is talking about this church. And it says, I know all the things you do. I've seen your hard work and your patient endurance. I know you don't tolerate evil people. You've examined the claims of those who say they're apostles and are not. You've discovered they're liars. You've patiently suffered for me without quitting. But I have this complaint against you. You don't love me or each other as you did at first. Look how far you've fallen. Isn't that interesting? They guarded their doctrine. They wouldn't tolerate evil, but they've lost their first love. And so even though it looked like they were really doing the great Christian thing by guarding all these important things, they were doing so without a heart of love. And the Spirit of the Lord says, look how far you've fallen. I told my boys when they were growing up, if you have to let go of love to hang on to your cause, you've lost your way. If you have to let go of love to hang on to your cause, you've lost your way. And that means me too. I have a cause. I want to make Jesus known. I want to see the church mobilized. I want to see the poor fed. But if I've let go of love in any way, shape, or form, I've lost my way. And so I just really did repent. One other thing before we go to break that I tell my boys growing up, I said, the Christian life is like a winding country road with a deep ditch on each side. One ditch is your outright sin and rebellion. The other ditch is your response to someone else's sin. And the devil could care less which ditch he gets you into. He just wants you off the road. So here's my question for you. Has anger, fear, hurt, frustration pulled you off the path? Has angst about something in our culture today brought some toxicity to your heart? I mean, maybe you want to confess, or maybe you've identified something and God has put you right again, or maybe something altogether different is on your heart today. When we come back, I'm going to play an amazing song from Hillsong's new album. It's called Greatest of These, because it's all about if we don't have love, we're just noise. So let's pause here. And we'll finish this conversation on the other side. The phone lines are open, 877-933-2484, 877-93-FAITH. We'll be back in a minute. Thanks so much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. And usually second hour for Live the Promise, we do something on Thursdays called Talk to Me Thursday. Usually I pitch a question for you, but today we're doing something a little bit different. And if you just tuned in, I hope you can go back when the podcast is up to listen to my monologue. But I kind of opened with just some angst in my soul, and I wanted to hear your opinion on it as well. And you know, if you listen off enough, the angst in my soul is the meanness of Christian bullies, so feeling like that's their God-given duty to tear people apart on social media. But where my confession came in is that my angst turned to anger towards these people, because I do a lot of time on the internet just vetting guests and looking on topics and reading what some of these people do to godly, dear Bible teachers like a Beth Moore, like a Mark Batterson, like a Billy Graham. I mean, it's unfathomable to me. But what happened in my soul was anger. And I had to repent, because truly, we're all responsibility responsible for the toxicity in our soul. We are. And it doesn't matter what's happening in culture. If love leaves our hearts, that's on us, right? So if God is giving you spiritual discernment for something and you have a fleshly reaction, that's on you. That's on me. So I'm confessing to you, my dear friends, that my heart got in a tough place and I needed to get on my knees, and I did. I opened my hands and I just begged God for forgiveness. So here's what we're doing differently here. I want to ask you, is there a fear, hurt, or frustration that has pulled you from your first love? I've been very raw here. Maybe you don't want to talk about that. Maybe there's just something else on your heart completely. I would sure love to hear from you, but it's sort of a free-for-all today. 877-933-2484. We've got Jerry checking in with from Cottage Grove. Hey, Jerry, you're on the air today.
Susie, hey, nice to talk to you, and bless you for your vulnerability in this whole area.
Thank you.
And this whole arena just makes me weep. Mm. And it's very, very real, and it's an unfortunate stronghold in the church right now. And yeah, I'm a 67-year-old guy. I've served on boards. I've been in churches my whole life, and I've just seen things continue to get worse and unravel. And I think things really turned into a really difficult road when the whole idea of developing accountability partners became a very real thing in the church. Because unfortunately, I think a byproduct of that is that Christians were taught how to criticize each other instead of build each other up. Mm. They would look at each other and try and straighten each other out. And, you know, Christians have this unfortunate tendency to go into Scripture and judge others by the Word of God, but not judge themselves. And that's the hypocrisy that is really raging right now, and you addressed the Church of Ephesus, and that was part of it as well. And as I look at how this could really be transformed, I think for me it comes down to one word that Christians need to remember, and that is, as we read in Matthew, we see how Jesus responded to the people. Because he would sit on the hillside, and as we read the stories, it says that Jesus looked on these people with compassion.
Mm, yes.
And we have misplaced compassion into some other place other than being the top priority for us as Christians. And we really need to come to a place where we really repent, clean our hearts, and let the compassion of Jesus be in our hearts above all else, and don't let anything else come in until we really can pass compassion on to other people around us, and it will change our life, and it will change our churches, and it will change our relationships, and it will change our communities. And so I just appreciate your vulnerability. You're right on, and there really needs to be a lot of healing in the church here.
I appreciate your words so much, Jerry. Of course, it makes me want to cry too, but I think you hit it on the head, compassion. So what if that was the standard for anybody and everybody who wants to criticize their pastor, who wants to criticize an author that they don't like anymore? What if compassion, if you don't, because it's like you don't even know the battles that person may be facing behind the scenes, and you're throwing gasoline on the fire. I mean, what if I don't have compassion for that person, I'm not going to tweet about them. I'm not going to write on the Facebook. I'm going to fast for them. I'm going to pray, because we're fellow soldiers in this army of God. But you're so right, Jerry. It's lost. I mean, it really does have to begin with each and every one of us, doesn't it?
Yeah, and then we can, if we feel there is something that we need to approach, We've got to find out more information rather than going to the quick conclusions that we feel are right, because we usually feel we're right. Well, unfortunately, yeah, if compassion were to rule, we would see that we were really wrong in our motivation first.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. You've just blessed me beyond words, Jerry. Thank you for your call. And just pray for direction for the rest of this conversation, because it feels really important today, and appreciate all you do in the church and just all you do to encourage us as well.
Yeah, I'm the same to you. Thanks for your program and your heart, and keep it soft and compassionate.
Thank you, Jerry. And that's the point, keeping it soft and compassionate. My heart started to get a little hard, but we have to stay soft and compassionate. We're going to go out listening to Hillsong's song, Greatest of These. Listen to the lyrics. It's exactly what Jerry was saying, exactly as I really believe God wants to say to us. Let's listen.
I could chase after greatness, first of all on my knees, lose myself to be found where you want me. I can do all the right things, sing the words till they bleed, but I know.
We will be back in a moment.
Well, I won't waste my breath if it's not for love. I don't have.
You call my name.
We are redeemed. We are made new. Thanks so much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. This is Talk to Me Thursday. So hour two on Thursdays, we do something called Talk to Me Thursday, but this is a different one. Just wanted to hear what's on your heart today, and I open the show with what's on my heart. I do realize that many of you just hopped in your car, didn't hear my opening monologue. So on one hand, I don't want to repeat myself completely, but I want to kind of catch you up because I'd love to hear if you've got a comment. But what I wanted to do, what was just something that's been burdening my heart is the whole, the Christian bashing culture. And I'm saying Christians bashing other Christians and the ready, shoot, aim kind of thing, especially with people who maybe think differently than you, but are still well within the Christian orthodoxy. You know what I'm saying? I'd found an article titled The Ugly Underbelly of Christian Opinion by Darren Wilson. And I'm going to see if we can link that up. I read most of it at the open of this show, but here's just an excerpt just so I can help you understand where I'm coming from. Darren writes, social media has created a culture of people who believe their opinion is just as important as any other opinion. Unfortunately, this simply just isn't true. If your opinion is coming outside of relationship, then while it may be loud, it's not important. If a perfect stranger tells me I'm doing something wrong based on something they see in my movies, I'm probably not going to pay attention to them. But if someone in my inner circle who sees me every day and knows the ins and outs of my journey tells me the same thing, well, I'm probably going to sit up and take notice. Listen to this. Opinions outside of relationship are often just noise pollution. Opinions inside of relationship are not only helpful, they are biblical. And he says, we have to remember that everyone, including the morality police, they're on a journey in this life, and we're all growing, learning, making mistakes, and trying our best here. So instead of shouting into the void, why don't we embrace the community that God's given us and allow iron to sharpen iron in the context of those relationships? I feel like that is so important. You know what? He says it's no coincidence that the least judgmental people I know are also the ones who are most aware of their own sin and brokenness without Christ. We are professional mistake makers in need of a Savior. Wouldn't it be amazing if we started to act more like it? So again, if you listen often enough, you know this has been a real angst in my heart. But what happened for me is angst turned to anger on behalf of many of my author friends who I know are Christians. I know they love God's word, and none of us are perfect. But for people to post blogs and create websites and call them false teachers, thinking they're doing this in the name of Jesus, they're doing this outside relationship. They haven't made an attempt to contact these people and to have a conversation. And so angst turned to anger for me. And I got on my knees and I asked God for forgiveness. But because you listen and I speak on Live the Promise, I wanted to be honest with you and just say, you know, God did deal with me, because what I'm now doing is praying for these people who are posting such vicious things. I'm praying, God, may they encounter you in the most profound way. And may we come to a place for all of us when we have angst in our heart and we're sincerely concerned about maybe something somebody's teaching. What if we fasted and prayed? What if you did that? What if you went out without some meals and fasted and prayed and said, God, open their eyes? But the thing is, sometimes they think differently than you, but they're not wrong. And this dear listener, Sarah, says, I've struggled with this topic too. She says, I used to be a basher. I come from a long line of bashers. As I've grown in the Lord and become softened to his truth and word, this verse speaks volumes to me. 1 Corinthians 13:1, if I speak with tongues of men and angels, but have not love, I'm a noisy gong and clanging cymbal. She says, we can be gifted and call our self-righteousness justice, God, such a good point, or a gift of prophecy. But if it's not love, it's not him. I love that. She says, thanks for your willingness to go there and talk about this. So this is just what's been on my heart. And again, I'm committed to praying for these friends. And because we all are responsible for the toxicity we allow in our hearts. So if there's a toxicity in their hearts and they're saying some pretty mean things, they're going to give an account, but I'm going to too. And so that's why I've got to guard my heart. So what I wanted to know from you is there, because this is the thing, anger is a secondary emotion. That's what they say, right? And it's secondary to one of three things: fear, hurt, and frustration. Well, I felt fear by seeing all the rant on social media. I fear for the unbelievers who would love Jesus if they knew him, but they watch us, and I've heard from some of them, and they're like, why in the world would I step into that ring? Why would I want what you do to each other? I've talked with young aspiring authors and speakers who say, I have a call in my life, but when I see the stuff you guys all put up with, I don't think I want to do it. Look at that. That's the ripple effect. So I have fear for the impact and ripple effect. I've had hurt because I love these people and I know them and they're godly. I've had frustration that people aren't maybe seeing the plank in their eye. But in doing so, I allowed some angst in my own heart. And any time that happens, the love of God, though we're never separated from his love, it gets lost in translation, because you can't impart what you don't possess, right? So is there anything in your heart, any fear, hurt, and frustration that you're realizing as you're listening that maybe it's gotten in the way of joy, of peace, of wholeness, so that you have kind of a skewed filter because it's an accumulated, you know, angst about somebody and something. So you actually are in a place of confirmation bias where they can't say or do anything because you've got a frustration built up. Well, I was pretty raw here first half, and I would love to hear from you. You can call anonymously, or you can switch gears altogether, because this is just what's on our heart today. What is on your heart? Maybe something totally different. Feel free to take a hard turn. We're going to listen to a song here in a moment, but Jerry, a dear listener who has sent me emails before, and God just uses him, because there are days I get in my office after a show and my heart will be kind of sunk a little bit because maybe something that maybe wasn't so kind. And he always seems to know, and he'll email me and say, we're just praying for you. We appreciate you. I just love that man. But he called and said, the church has lost the art of compassion. And if compassion really was before us, because Jesus was filled with compassion, that's what moved him to do what he did. If compassion was first and foremost in our hearts, how might we be different in the way that we treat people who even think differently than us, right? So this song by Hillsong, it's called Splinters and Stones. And the lyrics, once again, are so powerful. How about if we just pause and remember how much we need grace? which means others need grace too. How much we need mercy, which means others need mercy. And Lord, if there are planks in our eye that keep us from seeing the way that you see, show us what they are. But I'd love to hear from you. And again, you can call anonymously. It is Talk to Me Thursday after all. And I have been doing kind of a lot of talking here. 877-933-2484. Let's listen to this song.
Nothing on the providence I know. No longer bound to things of wood and stone. When all I had to offer was my worst, you saw my heavy heart and loved me first. Your beauty staring down my brokenness. You chose to throw your heart into the mess. Compassion crashing down upon my bed. You were there all this time. Like a river running through my failure. You carried me all this. Splinters buried in your shoulders, you carry me. Hallelujah. If ever now my heart cries, hallelujah. If ever now in the wonder of your grace, a thousand times, a thousand years, my soul. We'll say grace. You saw the crushing weight my flesh deserved. You kneeled and wrote forgiveness in the dirt. And one by one the stones fell where they lay. As one by one my accusers walked away.
Powerful song by Hillsong, Splinters and Stones. This is one of those raw and honest Talk to Me Thursdays where I'm asking you and I'm asking me, let's deal with the toxicity in our souls. We've got to, because if we don't, God's love will get lost in translation. And this dear listener, that there is just, our culture is so amped up. I've been talking about Christians on social media, and that's been an angst which turned to anger. And that's on me, and I needed to deal with that. Well, this dear listener is going to address something here. I'm going to read it anonymously, but I want you to put down your arms and just listen. And we're going to pray for her as we go out to break, because we're talking today on Talk to Me Thursday. Is there anything that's pulled you away from your first love? Because think about it. When there's that toxicity in the soul, God's love gets lost in translation. It's not good for you. It's not good for your sphere of influence. And this dear listener says, thanks so much for your honesty in hitting an issue that I struggle with constantly in terms of anger. I'm finding myself consciously staying away from certain movies or forms of media because of the treatment of so many black men and women in America, specifically in regards to the police. She says, as a black female who works in an industry that's predominantly white and whose stepfather is a police officer, it's hard for me to speak on this topic. I see both sides of the issue, but I feel as if simply because I'm black, there's pressure to automatically side with the victims. Please hear me when I say that under no circumstance should anyone's life be taken just because of color of their skin, but neither should someone's life be taken simply because they're trying to do their jobs. I don't want to live as an angry, hateful person, but this is such a difficult issue for me. Thank you for reading that verse in Revelation and reminding me that no matter what, we should not lose our first love. And please pray for me. So, Father, I pray for this dear listener trying so hard to stand in integrity in a very heated situation. But we're Christians first, aren't we, Lord? We're Christians first. So may the power of your Spirit fill us afresh. Search our hearts, God, and show us those places where lies have gone to hide, where hurts have turned to angst, that have turned to anger, that have caused toxicity in our soul. We want to be fresh, pure. We want streams of living water to flow through us, just as you intended from time beginning. So I pray for this dear sister, that she would be set free, that she would find a healing where there's been a suspicious filter, God, and I just pray that you'd use her as a conduit to healing, because she sees something, Lord God, on both sides of this conversation. Forgive us for how far we've fallen away from our first love, where we've held on to causes and let go of love in the process. We love you, Lord. We thank you. In your name we pray. Amen. So, Matt, I'm going to defer to you. Do I take the call or do I go to break? What do you say? Take the call. We'll take a quick call. Mark is checking in from Minnetrista. We're going to take this and then we'll pause for a break. Hey, Mark, you're on the air. How are you, Mark?
Hi, Susie. How are you?
Good. So glad to have you. You've got some thoughts you want to share today.
Well, I love your show. I think it's very timely, and I love that you're addressing this problem, because it definitely is a problem. I'll be quick. I just think so many of these people that are so critical have really got the bad idea that it's their responsibility to uphold righteousness.
Wow.
And it really isn't their responsibility.
Wow.
I mean, I understand that, but that's not how you do it. God can defend himself. Righteousness is something that has to be a byproduct of love. It cannot be without that. And people think that they're upholding a standard of some kind. God can uphold his own standard. And I used to believe that more than I do now, and through teaching and stuff like that. When it says, judge not lest you be judged, there's a reason it says that. We don't have all the answers. We don't see things clearly. We see things in a glass dimly, or at best. So we really don't have enough information to make these rants about people. And like you say, it's so much better to pray for them and to love them and to do the messy thing of being in a relationship with people.
Boy, Mark, that is fantastic. You know, as you're talking, I'm reminded of Ruth Graham used to say, it's my job to love Billy. It's God's job to make him good. And I thought, wow, if we could live by that, if we could love each other and say, Lord, it's your job to make them good. And don't you think, and I know science proves this, that people actually heal and grow in the context of love. You know what I mean? We heal from trauma. We heal from our insecurities and even our social issues in the context of some people who just love us and love to be with us. That's how we heal. Don't you think we need that?
Absolutely. Yes, I agree. Absolutely.
Well, you have so added to the conversation, and I love that. Someone needed to hear that today, that, you know, God can defend his name, and he makes us righteous from the inside out, not from getting battered on the head by somebody. So God bless you, dear brother. Thank you for that call.
Thank you, Susie, for your show.
So good. I'm so nervous about this show and Jerry's call, Mark's call. I'm just so thankful for our listeners. Thank you so much. And for this dear anonymous friend who emailed, I just want to hug your neck, really. So I still don't know what we're going to talk about for the next 10 minutes, but I know God will give it to us. It is Talk to Me Thursday. Right now we're talking about what are those things that pull you away from your first love because of the angst in your own heart responding to culture. But maybe you got something totally different you want to talk about. I got another really great song to play as well. So it's Talk to Me Thursday. Phone lines are open. 877-933-2484. We'll be back in a minute.
He started something good.
I'm just unfinished. Isn't that good news? You're just unfinished, but God's grace and His mercy will see us all the way home. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. This is Talk to Me Thursday, and normally I toss out a question and take your calls. This has been a very different one. I had some heartfelt things to share, just things God's been dealing with me about, and it's been really raw and really powerful, actually, but just kind of delving into the culture and our angry response to it. And what I said earlier is that if we have a fleshly response to something that we're spiritually discerning, we've lost our way. If we have to let go of love to hang on to our cause, we've lost our way. I mean, we can feel, and even if we're guarding our doctrine at the expense of love, we've lost our way. And one of my favorite stories, and what it started out, let me just say this, is that my angst over some of the Christian bullies on social media who've somehow made themselves the doctrine police, and especially in terms of issues that you can make a case for on both sides, and then they rant, they build websites, they post blogs against really godly, amazing Bible teachers, and they call them false teachers, and those who don't know different suddenly shy away from these great people because of somebody who's deemed themselves the police, basically. And my point was that that for me went from angst to anger, and I had to deal with my anger. And so now I'm very committed to praying that these people have an upending encounter with God that turns them upside down. Jerry called in and said, you know, compassion in the body of Christ needs to make a comeback. I totally agree. What if compassion was our filter? What if compassion really compelled us to pray and fast instead of snap and tweet and whatever and judge so quickly? And then Mark also said, you know, God can defend His name, and He's the one who makes us righteous. You know what? And I think that's so true, that if we can love each other well, God's righteousness, He makes us righteous from the inside out. He transforms us that way. So one of my favorite stories is D.L. Moody. And when he came to Christ, he was radically saved, and he wanted to teach a Sunday school class because he read Make Disciples of Men. So he went and asked, can I teach a Sunday school class? And they said, we don't really have a need for that. And he said, well, if I come up with a Sunday school class, can I teach one? Well, he went to get all these men on the street, drunk, homeless men. He brings them in, and they had a good handful. He says, now I have a class. Can I teach them? So he taught the class. Well, it grew and grew. And I think, if I remember right, it grew to like 1,000. Like, the number exceeded the size, I believe, of the church. And so he moved it off site, and this ministry started through D.L. Moody. And biblical scholars and theologians who had education, D.L. didn't, by the way, wanted to know what this man was doing. And what people who walked with him knew about D.L. Moody. What marked his life was humility and teachability. And you know what? God can do impossible things through the humble soul. So they would pass through town to see what this was all about, because so many people were coming to Christ. The fruit was in there. I'm telling you, people were being saved, transformed, large numbers. There was one scholar that came in, and he's behind the podium, and D.L. Moody scoots his chair up, right his knees up in front to the podium. And this, can you picture now the speaker podium? It's D.L. Moody's podium, by the way. It's this ministry that he'd been leading, but he was so humble. He let these great scholars come in and teach. He scoots his chair up, and the speaker looks over the podium and says, what are you doing? And he says, I just don't want to miss one thing you have to say. I mean, this is how hungry and thirsty he was, right? Well, several times through the man's speech, Moody laughs and goes, oh. And the speaker's like, oh, is there a problem? And he said, oh, no, I taught that verse, but I was way off. I had it all wrong. And he laughs at himself and kind of makes a mental note. The reason I love that story is because D.L. Moody says, oh, I was wrong about that scripture. But was he a false teacher? No, he was a man in process, right? And I'm telling you what, if we would just be more careful with using those kinds of terms in a day when there are more lost than found people, right? And Jesus says, you know, pray for more workers. The harvest is plentiful. The workers are few. He's basically saying the work exceeds the workers. Pray for more workers. Don't be threatened by the few. And so often the snark and the meanness, if you look a little deeper, comes from jealousy, comes from insecurity, and it's terrible. And I just say we are all responsible for the toxicity in our hearts. And when we don't deal with it, God's love gets lost in translation. And I'm talking to myself, too. I was completely schooled when I realized some of the attitude that I had. We just got a couple minutes left, but you got to hear a song that I've been playing in my devotional time by Leland. It's called Where You Are. So whatever angst in the culture is poisoning your soul, I would say roll it over onto the Lord, because a pure heart, the pure in heart see God. A pure heart is of utmost importance. Guard your heart with all diligence. Let's listen in. Pray that you were nourished and encouraged. I'd love to know your thoughts on today's very different Talk to Me Thursday. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. The podcast will be up soon. Have a blessed and beautiful evening.
Jesus, there is nothing.